This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! It's Hump Day Wednesday.
You celebrate just about every day except for Monday.
You know why? Because every day is a great day.
It's a great day to live in the mid-Willamette Valley, that's for sure. Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. I do not know where to start.
Plethora of things to talk about.
And some are
I love that word.
Get me fired up, and I'm very unhappy about. And some are fun. So let's start off today and say condolences, actually, for Dennis Coho's family, and thank Dennis Coho and all of his service. And actually, yeah, his whole family, because when people give back to the community, there's a family that just allows them the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
And Dennis was three-time Kaiser mayor. We've lost him on Monday night, it was announced, and he's passed away. And he was three-time mayor of Kaiser, served three terms, but always involved in the community, and he was here. And when we brought the Salem Kaiser, when not we, but the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes came to town. So announced the passing of Dennis Coho, and we thank him for a lifetime of service. So that's kind of cool. Also very fun is, hey, it's graduation week, right? Congratulations to all the grads for
lots
getting
of
through the gauntlet of high school and in college as well.
It's not as tough as they used to be.
As we graduate, what did it say? An extraordinary number of graduates coming out of Salem-Kaiser schools. Even though it's woefully inadequate in terms of the percentage that we need to graduate to do justice for our kids and into our community. So, folks, we're going to get to a tough on crime issue. We're going to get to a soft on crime issue, and it's going to be emotional. And I'm going to save it to later in the hour because it is also personal. And it's ironic because it's in the news today. It's in the news this week. And I just told this story like a week ago on Newsmakers.
Yes, you did.
A very personal story about one of the most vile and violent things to ever happen in Salem. And now we're saying, are we really being fair to the people that that did it? All right, we're going to save that. In the meantime, I want to circle back. We just briefly kind of touched on something. And this is something all of us here, if you're a resident of Salem especially, but affects everybody around Salem, is how Salem plans. The mayor was talking about it yesterday, and we referred to our Salem.
Right.
Our Salem. And what is our Salem? And he says, well, I didn't really like the name, but our Salem is our comprehensive plan process, and we're going out and they're getting public input. Newspaper, newsmaker listener, I have been begging you, get involved.
Right. Yeah.
Get involved.
Some
know
way,
what's going
somehow.
To go on.
Somewhere.
And this is why. Because they're going to make decisions on how the city grows, how we plan for growth, how, you know, your transportation, your zoning.
Or the lack of.
Where the streets will go, whether or not we're going to prioritize bicycles or pedestrians or vehicles, whether or not, I mean, all of these things. Whether or not going to be one-way streets and two-way streets, whether or not, how we're going to plan for growth, how much housing inventory, what kinds of infill projects, all of these things are going to be discussed. And if you're not showing up, then you know who shows up? Shows up who are activists who are active about one thing.
Right.
And typically it's not a person. It's like, well, let's look holistically at the big picture of Salem. You know, let's look holistically at what's right for the entire community.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's more like, you know what? I think every street downtown should have a bike lane. I think that we should make it harder to get in cars. I think that blah, blah, blah. And they show up and they have their input and they're the ones that are, you know, creating this report card. All right, folks, here's your homework. You know, you're not going to do it today because you might be driving.
Right.
But there's a report card, an Our Salem report card. And you can just go to Uncle Google
and type in
Our Salem report card. And know what the heck is going on. So I want you to look in that. And so there is a scoring of all these livability things having to do with Salem.
Right.
And, oh, I lost it. There's this thing having to do with Salem. And those things are brought in through community outreach, right? And those are the people that show up. You better have some input. And if you can't go to meetings, I get that. You got kids, it's sports, it's summer, it's got vacations, you got work, you're working two jobs. You can't go to meetings. You can send in emails.
That's good. They work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it becomes part of the public record, and it becomes part of...
But whether or not they actually listen is another story, as we found out with the bridge. So
there's
that.
Well, you know, staff, and here's the other thing, is staff of the city of Salem, they do have considerable sway in how they report and what they recommend. So it's not, and that makes a difference, what the city manager thinks, what the planning department thinks, and if they're getting a lot of public pressure, they're going to report, well, we've got a lot of public pressure, a lot of public interest, and it absolutely helps. All right, folks, I'm going to give you the titles of what categories they're grading Salem on.
Okay.
But here's the sentence. You know how to pluck out the sentence that really matters. So the city has launched a multi-year project to update the comprehensive plan, right? And they looked at how we're doing today in 20 key indicators that community members helped select. So they're looking at these 20 indicators, and they said, what that means is, oh, we went to the neighborhood associations. Oh, we had a public hearing or something. But did you hear about it? I'm asking the listener, did you hear about it? Did you know that the city of Salem was collecting information on how you think Salem is growing and how it should grow?
Nope.
Most people don't. But community members help select, and that gives them political cover.
Right.
Oh, well, we held 20 meetings, and a grand total of 60 people participated in a city of 160,000 people, right?
Yeah.
The world is run by people who show up, people who's run. All right. That's your key sentence, is they're gonna go behind, hey, we had a public process. We got public input. Folks, you need to show up. You need to know what's going on and check this out.
Yeah,
all
right. They didn't advertise those meetings.
How are we doing on safe, reliable, efficient infrastructure and bad grades for walk and transit friendliness, right? Okay. I think we could do better in transit, but you know what? The city of Salem doesn't do transit. They have their own transit district.
Right.
So that, I don't know. You're judging the city on a role in which it is not in charge of.
Right.
But a bad score there, so we need to improve pedestrian and transit friendliness.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that, because that's a red box in their little color code thing, because that's a red box, that means it's going to be prioritized because we're failing. We're falling short of this, and we need to prioritize for the next 20 years. The other red box, pedestrian and bicycle use. I used to bike to work, you know, we could always, I mean, I'm not anti-bike by any means,
no,
but I don't consider Salem bad place to bike.
No.
There's lots of bike lanes, and people bike to work. People can bike to bike to school and all these things. Anyway, score.
And
we're not doing well.
Really?
You know why it says we're not doing well? Because the bike advocates are probably showing up.
Ah.
Right? So if you don't want your street to lose a driving lane and lose parking to make it better score for bicycle and pedestrian use, you better show up and go, hey, I think we're doing fine.
Yeah.
I think we're doing fine.
The parks have great trails through them, which are bike and walker friendly and runner friendly. And through downtown, there are some already bike lanes there.
Not meeting targets. The red
targets.
I'm highlighting the...
What's their target?
Well,
the entire roads.
You have to look at the comprehensive plan.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And things go into this. That's the other thing, folks. Is what, by the time a city, a council is looking at the transportation plan, you need to have already made suggestions.
Yes.
You know, there needs to be. Yeah, it's a whole process. Well, maybe I'll help you with this after the break. Three more highlights on things that the input says we're not doing a good job of in the city of Salem. One is tree canopy.
What?
I don't know that that's true, folks. There are tree requirements for building houses. There's tree restrictions on cutting down trees in residential areas.
Uh-huh.
We have fantastic tree canopy in our parks. I don't know. But some people showed up and said, hey, we're not doing well with our tree canopy.
What?
Greenhouse gas emissions. Then one could argue whether or not the municipality thinks that that should be a priority, but okay. It's on the list. How are we doing on that? And we're not doing very well.
Well, if they had built the bridge, then there wouldn't be all the CO2 emissions in town.
Air pollution from travel.
What?
That one's good. I mean, travel. What kind of travel? Car travel, driving to the airport.
Herding animals.
Driving to PDX instead of flying out of Salem. Right. Oh, by the way, that's one of the good things we'll talk about today.
Oh, good. Oh,
warbirds in Salem. Yeah. Very cool. But we do have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll explain to you this process, how you shouldn't get involved, and what you should pay attention to before somebody else makes a decision on what your quality of life is going to be for the next two decades. All right?
Ouch.
My name is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we are talking about our Salem in the report card and the process that goes through. And later this hour, we're going to be talking about Salem's own true crime story. And honestly, this should be a linchpin. It should be a pinpoint in America's discussion about the juvenile justice system, the criminal justice system, and gosh, it's a really important conversation, which I have some fairly strong personal feelings about, and we'll get to that later in the hour. All right, so our Salem. So Salem is run by a comprehensive plan. It's built out, and that's kind of the roadmap that staff and even the elected leaders have to follow because it's in the comp plan. If it's not in the comprehensive plan, then you really just can't make it up willy-nilly.
Right, because they need to know where they're going to go and how to get there.
Yeah, so it includes transportation, includes how much parkland are we going to have? What are our targets? What are our targets and a bunch of different elements having to do with the municipality of the city of Salem. So it's transportation. It's going to be water and sewer. It's going to be parks. It's going to be livability issues, and it's going to be how the city is zoned. Are we going to allow a fourplex in your single-family residence neighborhood?
Right.
Are you going to allow an eightplex? Are you going to allow
30-unit
apartments in a neighborhood that used to just have single-family homes? All of those things. Can you build a mother-in-law quarters on your property? How does that affect your setbacks? What are the setbacks?
A
what
shed.
Are the design? All the shed.
I'll put her in
is
a shed.
Is that what you're going to do with your mother-in-law?
Yes.
Dave. Okay.
Actually, I don't have a mother-in-law anymore.
Back to... Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Many years ago.
Okay. All right. So we were talking before the break about things that the input that had come to staff via community outreach, although I'm asking every listener, hey, did you get any outreach? Was we're not doing well in tree canopy, greenhouse emissions, air pollution from travel, bicycle and pedestrian use, walk and transit friendliness. Look at that list and tell me who showed up to the meetings.
Right.
Who showed up to the meetings? It's, we can't walk enough. We can't ride our bikes enough. We don't have enough trees. We're emitting too much gas. And people who travel, wow, they have air pollution.
They're evil.
Well, I don't know how you travel. I guess there are bike tourists, right?
But there are.
Air pollution from travel.
There's runners, there's walkers, there's bikers. And they outnumber the extremists who showed up to these meetings that we didn't know about and said, we don't have enough of those.
All right. So things we're doing well. Let's skip to that.
Okay.
Things
that, please.
According
give me some good
to this
news.
Report card, folks, just Google or Bing or Yahoo, whatever your search engine is. I hate to promote Google because, frankly, they drive me crazy. It's a verb. All right. You can just Google our Salem report card.
Okay.
So, all right. Things we're doing well in the category of welcoming and livable community. I like that. I want to live in a welcome and living community. We're doing affordability. We're a lot more affordable than Portland is, right?
That's good.
A lot more affordable than Bend is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
Even though a single family home, your starter homes are $350 and above now instead of $200,
mm-hmm.
We're still doing okay, according to this. and infill development and redevelopment. People think they're doing okay there as a community. And I think that's some of that's true. We could do more. We could absolutely do more, especially in the residentials. But we've seen a lot of commercial buildings go up where there was blank space.
True.
Where there was an unimproved building or a dilapidated building. It just goes down and rebuilt. And I mean, we could talk the rest of the whole segment on, you know, things that have been rebuilt. And when they get rebuilt, it's a higher valuation and more property taxes, more services coming, being
and
paid
jobs.
For out of that same piece of real estate.
Right. And so, jobs.
And jobs. Yeah. So redevelopment is really critically important to have things, I hate to say it, but, you know, torn down and rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to create a new use, create the construction jobs, and create a higher tax base, it pays for everything. So the more we can do that in the infill, the more we can support our cops and our firefighters and so forth. All right. So infill development and redevelopment, filling in the middles and going up instead of spreading out into the farmland. So they, so far, they think we have a pretty good score in that.
That's not bad.
The color, it's a green color. So they seem to be heading in the right direction is the message. And there's only two other green check marks. So this is interesting because a few years back there was a poll taken and how many Salemites felt that the city in general was going the right direction. And it was huge. I mean, of course, it's prior to the current city council, right? But they felt Salem in general was going in the right direction. They were doing the right things. They're going the right direction. And it was a huge percentage. And I don't have it at the tip of my tongue. I apologize. According to this, there's more things we're failing at than we're doing well at. Okay. Other things that we're doing well, average wage. Interesting that we get that on the report card. Average wage for the city of Salem. Let's touch on that.
Okay.
All right. So Salem, one of the reasons why it takes so long and it's so difficult to get a chain like an Applebee's in South Salem when that opened, it was a big, big deal because in South Salem, it's this huge community down there and there's lots of people and that's where all this growth was happening. And we all knew it because we're local. It's actually a funny story here. but to get a chain to look at us, they're just looking at demographics.
Right.
And one of the hits on Salem, and we could talk to Kurt Arthur about this again. If we get Kurt back on the show. Kurt, if you're listening, we'd like you back on the show. He's a commercial real estate advisor. Is the average household income of Salem is lower than a lot of other areas because of the state government and the employee
okay.
employment base. Even though the total package is fairly rich if you're working for the state government, their wages, you know, like, so their wages keep our average household income a little bit lower, certainly lower than Portland and certainly lower than some of the other states. And as we all know, because we complained about it to a deaf governor, the average household income in Oregon is not rising enough in compared to the, it's not rising at all compared to the national average and certainly falling short of the state of Washington. But I digress.
Mm.
All right. So here's the funny story having to do with average wages. There's this lot. It's on Commercial and Kubler, folks, where you now see Applebee's. And slated to come in there, there was a developer, local real estate developer, and built this thing. And they had on the hook Ruby Tuesday. Not familiar with the chain. It's a lot like, say, Applebee's.
Right.
Yeah. So they look around. And if you're local, you know, this is South Salem. This is the crossroads to I-5 and front of I-5. This is where all the growth is going to happen. This is where there's going to be a concentration. And if you lived in South Salem, folks, you know you don't have a chain restaurant to go to. There's no Red Lobster. There's no, you name it. There's no Applebee's. There's no TGI Fridays. There's no Olive Garden, you know, those popular chain
I'm
restaurants.
Surprised.
Right. And we're all like, oh, man, we have to go to Lancaster to do this. We have to go to downtown somewhere, right? Ruby Tuesdays is all set to do this. This is an anecdote. It's passed on to me. So you take it for a grain of salt if you like, but this is how I heard it went down. Looks like they're going to build here. We're like, great, a new option in South Salem, somewhere you can have a family meal, blah, blah, blah. And then the last decision maker comes and looks around. He looks at the neighbor. He goes, none of our competitors are here. I'm out.
What?
None of our competitors here. I'm out. You kind of wonder. I mean, we know that fast food tends to cluster together. Where there's a McDonald's, they're going to build a Burger King and so forth.
Yeah, right.
Or I get
Wendy's,
that.
Yeah.
But he thinks, yeah, this doesn't smell right because we don't have any competition here. And I'm hearing the story and I'm ripping my hair out. I'm like, right. We don't have anything and what's desperately needed in South Salem, folks. Right. So a lot of you listeners, you moved to South Salem. You think that Applebee's been there a long time. It doesn't seem like it's been there a long time. Anyway, Ruby Tuesdays, they're out. And so Applebee's had an opportunity and they moved in there and, you know, they've done very well.
Yeah, well, yeah, no competition.
The parking lot's not big enough and the parking spaces are too small.
Always. That is so true.
But isn't that funny? As a community thing, as the guy looked, I'm like, gosh, you know, if there were four other restaurants like us here, then we'd move here. How about being the only chain restaurant where this huge bulk of Salem residents live and are going to live? How about being the only one? Unbelievable.
I bet West Salem has some great restaurants over there.
West Salem? No. They don't.
They don't have anything?
We just had Counselor Jim Lewis on Newsmakers last week, and he was saying, if you want to go dining, where do you go dining? Go have a place to eat. In West
Salem.
They
have to go to Portland or
Salem.
You can
go to the brew pub. You can go to the bar.
Okay.
You know, brew pub kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot. There's nothing. Need more restaurants. Morton's was there forever, and it was a great place in the basement along Edgewater. All right. Moving right along, we're talking about our Salem report card, and this process, folks, that you should jump in on and how you should participate to help drive what the city is going to prioritize in the next 20 years. The other thing that's on the list, because besides average wage, I think we're doing well, is jobs and housing balance. Interesting. Jobs and housing balance. I'll have to dive into that, see what that means, but they thought we're doing okay in that regard. You know, if there is an imbalance, it's all these new jobs coming on board at the Mill Creek Industrial Center, Mill Creek Business Park over there off of Cordon Road, Kubler, and the 1,000 jobs, you know, being hired up and so forth. And we have, of course, a community that is heavily in need of food processing jobs. And now it's just so much more diverse. Our economy is so much more diverse. How many different types of industries we have in the Mid-Valley. SEDCOR, thank you for the job they've done. City Council, thank you for supporting SEDCOR and saying somebody needs to do economic development. And we can't just have agriculture and government.
No.
We need to have some high tech. We need to have some distribution center. We need to have some manufacturing. We need to have all sorts of different kinds of jobs to make us less susceptible to a horrible recession.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. You think about folks, don't take it for granted, Salemites, Mid-Valleyites, don't take it for granted. We got to have wood industry, we got to have agriculture, we got to have manufacturing. Because if you're in Pennsylvania and you're reliant upon one factory, you are in danger.
We've seen
that. If you're in West Virginia and you're reliant upon one coal mine, you are in danger.
Yes.
So diversification of our economy is important. Anyway, so real quick before we go to break, I'm going to tell you what this report card consists of as far as the title. So we talked about welcome and livable community. That's a good goal. Safe and reliable, efficient infrastructure.
Is it safe?
Huh.
Is it reliable?
It's interesting that it says infrastructure. It should say transportation infrastructure because there's only three categories, and it's transit, walk-in transit. Gosh. Walk-in transit friendly. Access to transit, bicycle, and pedestrian use. And that's under safe, reliable, efficient infrastructure. Strong and diverse economy, good governance, natural environment stewardship, and safe community. Guess what's under safe community?
I would hope, please.
Guess again. And what else would be there?
Fire.
Okay. You know what is actually there? Traffic and pedestrian crashes, active transportation. That's what's under safe community.
What?
Not neighborhood watch, not police patrols,
not fire.
Yeah, not low crime rate. Lower the crime rate.
Wow.
Right? This is getting scary, folks. The more we look at it, we got to take a break. We're going to come back because that's downright scary. We're talking about our Salem and how it's going to build out in 20 years. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers, and we appreciate it on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking about the city of Salem and how it's going to grow out in the next 10 to 20 years and what priorities are going to be set now that you need to pay attention to. The document is actually pretty fascinating, folks. Just Google our Salem, O-U-R. Can't spell it A-R-E. You know, how many times have you seen people misspell our and R?
Yeah, right?
Not only do I not misspell it, but I don't like it when people mispronounce it, where they say "our" when they meet "our."
True.
Right?
Good point.
Well, it's our house. No, it's our house. Anyway.
Yeah,
finicky. All right. The document is really important, and it's fascinating in terms of not just what the report card says, but what we're being graded on. So I'm asking Dave, hey, what should be under safe community? Fire, police? Yeah, and I would add how many people participate in Neighborhood Watch?
Yeah, right.
What is our crime rate? Is it lower our crime
rate?
Right. When the crime rate goes down, you know what else goes down? Our insurance bill. You know that? Yeah. Mm. So they look at your zip code and where you live, and your homeowner's insurance goes down, your car insurance goes down if there's a low crime rate in your community. So we should absolutely want that. Instead, safe community, its subtopics are traffic and pedestrian crashes, active transportation.
That's under safe?
And yeah.
Uh-huh.
So...
Does that have to do with how people learn how to drive, maybe?
All right. So we are going to get to this crime thing here, this segment. So real quickly, I want to talk about this process, and we'll dive deeper into this tomorrow on tomorrow, Friday, on what's in this report that you need to pay attention to. What's really important, I want you to understand, is this comprehensive plan is going to guide decision makers for the next many years. I think
yes.
Mayor Bennett said yesterday, we haven't done this for 40 years. So we need to pay attention, folks, because if everything is around, you know, a priorities of some people who are one of those single issue voters, it needs to be more broad than that.
Yeah.
All right. So the process is get the input. Develop all these things, these report cards things, set priorities, staff looks into it, you compare to other cities. This is a multi-year process. We need to be involved. You need to have input. So it's like the transportation plan is another similar document. In the transportation plan, and we were hearing from, again, Councilor Jim Lewis of West Salem, that Marine Drive is in the transportation plan. It was put there in the 90s. I think 97, I think he said.
It's still not done.
And that it is, but it's part of the plan. If it's not part of the plan, then it can't really be done without a lengthy process, folks. We're talking about the government. There's a process for amending the T plan, the transportation plan. So if you think that you should be a connector, if you think there should be, intermodal, whatever it is you think. You need to have input. I think it's sometime in the next 1, 3, 5, 10, 30 years, there needs to be this improvement. It's time to tell your city councilor you want it in the transportation plan and to recommend amendment to the transportation plan.
Yes.
This is always appropriate. Don't wait. It's always appropriate, so it's in queue.
Who would we talk to?
Your city councilor.
Okay. We need two bridges.
And you need to, yes, and you need to pass it, have the city councilor pass it to staff. Then it becomes part of the public record as public input. Don't leave the public input to the wackos, people.
Right.
All right. So this is the comprehensive plan. It's going to be a huge undertaking. It's definitely going to drive it. That's all I'm going to say about that as far as the process. Pay attention. And if you want to get, maybe you can get on an email mailing list to call the city of Salem and get the planning staff to make sure that you're notified whenever there's meetings and if you want to provide input. And if you're too busy working and raising your kids to provide input, then,
Oof.
We could be susceptible to people who have too much time on their hands, folks.
Email or call.
Email or call. All right. Enough of that. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Moore on Newsmakers. I wanted to talk today about Lysel and Lydell White. I shared this personal story, a week ago, Dave?
Yeah, we've talked about it a couple of times.
Only once. I haven't talked about it for years.
And you went into depth on it.
So, and this is in the Statesman Journal, an article in the Statesman Journal. I've held a grudge, actually, against the Statesman Journal from 1999, where I thought that it was a little bit of bleeding heart, woe to these poor kids kind of story that gets sentenced to such a harsh sentence. So, two brothers, they're 15. If you missed it on Newsmakers, they were my neighbors. My neighbors were 80 and 80. 2 years old, Richard and Grace. And Richard was a charming 80-year-old who had a club foot and suffered from diabetes. And I think he was legally blind. I'm not sure. But the Remis, he adored his wife like you can believe. And just as we were leaving, it was like the week after we were moving out of the neighborhood, they were killed by these two 15-year-old youth, Lydell and Lysel White, which got up, you know, they were tried as adults. It was a, you know, required by tough on crime measures here in Oregon, and they were sentenced to 67-year sentences. And now it's going to the Oregon Supreme Court, and they're tossing out the sentences.
What?
Declaring that they constituted cruel and unusual punishment.
I'm sorry, what?
All right, so folks, let me tell you about this again. Richard, we'd meet him at the mailbox. He would spend 10 minutes telling you how much he adored his wife.
Nice.
They'd been married so long. He was adorable. My wife loved him and would listen to that story every time he wanted to tell it. My wife, I met her and she was doing this and she did this as a career, and it was as lovable and adorable as possible.
Hmm.
He died watching her be kindled.
Wow.
Right? They broke into the house. They wanted to steal the car. They thought they'd be easy victims. They resisted. So they strangled them and they beat them to death. Goes back to our conversation about the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Should the death penalty be in America when it's not in a lot of developed worlds? Do some people deserve to die? It's why I'm saying that right here in Salem, Oregon, in this true crime story, we should be a center of this entire national discussion. Should these 15-year-olds should be treated as misguided youth or creatures that do not deserve to be in society and arguably do not deserve to live, right? Wow. If you are capable of.
Yeah.
So it was vile. It's horrific. You can't just listen to the story about, well, they were 15 and they feel really bad now. You have to hear about what they did. You have to hear it, what they did to whom and why. They wanted to steal their car, for goodness sakes. They wanted to do a property crime because it didn't go their way, because Richard fought back against something happening to him and his wife. At 80 years old, they beat him to death. And then the reason why they were arrested 2 days later is they went to school and bragged about it.
Mm.
Did you hear me say that, folks?
Yes.
They bragged about it at school.
Yikes.
Right. All right. So the family is, you know, of course, devastated, and they're relieving this pain all over again. So having, you know, and it's not like they only did one thing. They had juvenile rap sheets, included robbery, sexual assault, weapons charges, and car theft. Lydell went in the juvenile justice system when he was 13 and Lysel when he was 12. They were both convicted, 2 counts of murder in 1994.
Hmm. Just makes me sick hearing about it.
Yes, indeed. Folks, are we supposed to feel sorry for them because they're in prison? Are we supposed to feel sorry for them because they got 67-year sentences? I do not. I don't want them in my society. I don't want them in my world. And it sounds harsh, but you know what? I care more about the Remis than I care about the people that killed them.
Right.
And I care more about my society than I care that these two people are ever freed. So there's Jay Remy. He's a family member. He stayed. He testified. His quote, it was brutal. It was horrific. They were terrorized. It was drawn out. They were screaming for help, and nobody could help them. So I want to thank Judge Paul Lipscomb at the time. If you remember Judge Lipscomb, he sentenced them to life with the possibility of parole plus almost 67 years in prison for the both of them got the same sentences for the killings. And this is a quote from Judge Lipscomb. Most of us cannot visualize something as brutal and graphic as what you participated in. In my judgment, we cannot trust you ever again in our community. Kudos, Judge Lipscomb. Thank you for that. To be fair, here's a quote from Lydell. This happened to do the article 1999. I was complaining about it's 5 years later, and they're talking about, hey, what about these poor kids? And ain't a day goes by that I don't think about what I did and the pain I put two families through. That's Lydell's quote. in 1999. Not only the victim's family that suffers, your own family suffers too. My brother and I have done a lot of growing up in here, and we've come to grips with what we've done. And of course, they still blame the fairness, citing racial disparities in the criminal justice system.
What?
All right. There may be racial disparities in the criminal justice system. I'm not going to argue that on Newsmakers. I'm not qualified to make that argument. I will tell you that this has nothing to do with color of their skin.
Nope.
That's to do with what you did.
Yeah, totally.
What you did. I don't care if you're white or yellow or pink or green. I don't care. You did that to two octogenarians in that manner. And you had already had a history of antisocial, outside the law, and so forth. That has nothing to do with being black. And it's an insult. It's an insult. That's just appalling that you would think, well, you know, this has to do with me being black.
What?
You can't play the race card, folks. Beat an 82-year-old woman to death in her bed. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I promised something fun before the end of the hour, though. I promised something fun. The folks, you got to pay attention. World's watching, or if not, we should be. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Hamblin's Nursery.
Welcome back, folks. If you've been listening this hour, I hope you're beginning to understand why I am feeling so strongly about what the legislature has been talking about this year in amending and softening some of the tough-on-crime measures that were passed in the 90s. Mandatory sentencing, juveniles tried as adults for certain crimes, and how you defined some of certain crimes. Should we make it easier? Should we require that juveniles who are tried and go to prison get a hearing halfway through their sentence, get a hearing and a review? Should we outlaw life without parole sentences for anyone who's under 18, and so on and so forth? These things matter, and this is the case that makes them matter so much in the hearts of Salemites and the region when someone's capable of doing this. And I get it. Let's say these two youths, men now, frankly, men there. If you're capable of killing, you're, I don't know. All right, let's say they're reformed. Let's say that they have remorse. Let's say that they're completely different people, and so on and so forth. I understand that there's a perspective that thinks, well, you know, then maybe they shouldn't continue to pay for their crime. I just don't share that opinion.
No, because
there's a difference between, yeah. And here's a problem with some of our societal questions. And some of the challenges is there's a difference between forgiveness and don't hold accountable, right? I'm glad you're sorry for what you did, or at least you say you are. I'm glad that you've grown up and you've awakened and you're not that person anymore. That doesn't mean I want to let you off the hook for what you've done.
You're right. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
It also comes down to, and this is not very PC of me, but there was somebody mentally capable of committing a crime, you know, when you talk about people who are mentally handicapped and so forth, or were they crazy at the time, or was their crime as a result of some trauma they had as a youth? I don't care why you're a monster. I don't care. I mean, I do care. I don't want you to become a monster, but at the point that you are a monster and you're capable of doing heinous things, then that's what I care about. I don't want you in my society. So forth. All right. So sentencing. We're talking about Lysell and Lydell White in the Supreme Court of Oregon overturning their sentences, originally 67 years, by Judge Paul Lipscomb, how they beat my neighbors to death, and so forth. And so the Supreme Court basically said this amounts to cruel and unusual punishment. And that they were youths at the time, so they had underdeveloped brains kind of thing.
If they were capable of doing that at 15...
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So the ruling, and this is our Oregon Supreme Court, folks. And if you don't think, court appointees matter. Okay. So it's unconstitutional for juveniles to be sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. So that's the law of the land in Oregon now, right? Because it's the Supreme Court case, so that's going to follow the court case, due to their transient immaturity and developing brains. I like the response. You know, and my heart just goes out to the family. And in that regard, his grandson, Jay Remy, said, well, you just look around. I mean, there's a lot of juvenile immature brains around, but nobody's doing this. This is unheard of. This is not because they're juveniles.
Right.
It's because they're monsters. So he says, 40,000 kids in the district. There's never anything that came anywhere close to this. It's definitely rare. It's definitely depraved. It's just not normal. This is not having to do with a juvenile. So let's sentence them as adults. I'm jumping on what Jay Remy was saying. Another quote from the court. The record does not convince us that the sentencing court reached the conclusion that the petitioner is one of the rare juvenile offenders who is irreparably depraved and no reasonable trial court could reach any other conclusion. Second-guessing Judge Lipscomb 25 years later. Wow. Yeah, all right, folks.
Not right.
Yeah, having to do with how we sentence juveniles, violent crime, mandatory sentences, who we're going to feel sorry for in our community, the death penalty, these things all intersect right here in Salem. Probably haven't heard the end of this, folks, because I'm hoping that the sentencing will be remanded down and have to go through another sentencing. There's nothing in the article that says there's a new sentence yet. So I'm presuming that, and this is in Statesman Journal, folks, if you want to look it up. Okay. All right. Something fun. I promise something fun. So we're going to have warbirds. I'm going to probably mention this each of the next few days because it's so fun. Have you ever been in a World War II plane?
I have.
Really?
B-17 bomber.
Whoa.
In the bombardier in the front nose.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got to sit down there.
That's awesome.
So fun, folks. So it's a special event. You know, actually, we were just talking about the airport a week ago.
Yes, we were.
With the airport manager. People don't know what's out there and what can be out there. The fun events out there. So it cost a few bucks. Cost a few. Doesn't, you know.
Worth
to,
it.
To ride.
It's, to ride.
Yeah, it's kind of spendy. But you can see a B-17, a B-25, a B-24. They call it the Wings of Freedom as a foundation, the Collins Foundation. So on the 14th, it starts. You can go out there in the afternoon. Go out there Friday afternoon on the 14th. You can go out there on Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 10 to 5. So all weekend.
Nice.
So the planes will come and go, of course, because they're giving rides.
That's
so
cool to watch,
too.
So you
get to see them fire up those, when they fire up those four engines in the B-17. Wow, when it's loud.
It's a smooth ride, though.
Oh, man.
It just floats through the sky.
And you bring your kids out there. They can get inside the aircraft. It's really expensive to do a P-51 Mustang, but I've had the money.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you can take a flight lesson on P-51. You get to hold the yoke.
That would be fun.
Fighter jet and what have you. So P-40 Warhawk, P-51 Mustang, a B-24 Liberator, and a B-25 Mitchell at the Salem Airport.
That's awesome.
This weekend. All right, we're gonna say goodbye for the day. Thanks for joining us in Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne. And join us tomorrow. We'll have more on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.